Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey, it's Ben. I want to tell you about the new Broadway Podcast Network series, Singular Sensation, a juicy, gossip-filled podcast telling firsthand stories behind some of the most famous and infamous productions of the 1990s. Hosted by journalist Michael Riedel, based on his book, we get to hear these never-before-heard taped audio recordings that have now been turned into a docu-series podcast containing deep dives on Sunset Boulevard, Rent, The Producers, Angels in America. That's right, you heard me, Sunset Boulevard. The first six episodes are a deep dive on the scandal behind the original production of Sunset Boulevard, which led to the now infamous feud between Patti LuPone and Andrew Lloyd Webber. Did you know that Andrew Lloyd Webber was struggling to run his own company after taking it public, something he admits was a huge mistake, while still trying to create and compose and produce this brand new epic mega musical? Here is a little snippet of Singular Sensation, the podcast. This is Patti LuPone talking about the drama behind Sunset Boulevard.
Michael Riedel here, and welcome to my podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway, based on my book that pulls the curtain up on all the great and juicy gossip from Broadway in the 1990s. It's funny because, I'm a great admirer of both Patti and Andrews. And when I was going back and thinking about Sunset Boulevard, because I spent a lot of time with those chapters in the book, Singular Sensation, and spent a fair amount of time talking about it with not only Patti and Andrew, but Chris Hampton and Don Black, a number of people involved in it. And I found my old Sunset Boulevard mug that I think I got on opening night Broadway that I went to. And I've been alternating between my Phantom of the Opera mug and my Sunset Boulevard mug. And just before I was about to do this podcast, I was drinking out of my Sunset Boulevard mug and I was going to put it in the dishwasher and I dropped it and it broke. And I thought, wow, if that's not a metaphor for what ultimately happened to Sunset Boulevard, I don't know what is. Sunset Boulevard came into New York with a great deal of drama because Andrew Lloyd Webber had hired Patti LuPone, who was Evita in the original production of Broadway, to play Norma Desmond. Frank Rich, who was then the most powerful drama critic in the world, he was the drama critic for the New York Times. Frank Rich went to see Sunset Boulevard when it opened in London. And if you go back, as I did, and look at the review is not terrible for the show. He actually has some nice things to say about Andrew's score, which Frank usually slagged off on Andrew many, many times. But the stake in Patti LuPone's heart was Frank's review, because he said that she was miscast. She was too young for the role. And as I delved into the story of Sunset Boulevard, I discovered that there were already problems behind the scenes with Patti and her relationship with Andrew Lloyd Webber. And the rest, as we know, is history, because Patti LuPone got fired, and she got a lot of money, and she bought a pool up in Connecticut, which she always called the Andrew Lloyd Webber Memorial Pool. And here's the story of how Patti got her pool. So Patti LuPone is made of cast iron, but even cast iron has its weaknesses. And her firing from Sunset Boulevard and the publicity that surrounded it really did hurt her. It really wounded her. And it took her a long time to recover from it. And I also discovered in the course of interviewing people for this book, it also hurt Andrew Lloyd Webber in a way too. Because they had been, you have to understand this, Andrew and Patti they'd been great friends. Evita was a big hit for the two of them. And there was a long-standing relationship there that was completely torn asunder by Andrew's decision to jettison Patti for Glenn Close. And with Sunset Boulevard, Andrew, who was always around and deeply involved in the shows, he was remote during this time. And there was not a lot of artistic conversation, artistic conversations going on between Trevor, the director, and Andrew, the composer, and the set designers. And I believe that Patty felt that she was adrift. She was at sea with no captain on the ship. And so now here is Patty. I met her backstage at War Paint. She was starring in that show on Broadway at the time. And I spent as I think you'll see, a delicious and very juicy hour and a half with Patty LuPone backstage at War Paint. Was it always a circus from the moment you started?
No, not at all.
So it started out? Okay.
Well, because rehearsals didn't have Andrew in them. You know, it's when we got on the set that... I mean, I don't remember him. I remember we rehearsed in Hammersmith. And it was Bob, Avian, Trevor Nunn, Trevor Nunn, and we rehearsed. But when we got on the stage, and when the technicals began, that's when the shit started to hit the fan.
Right, because it was a nightmare, wasn't it?
The house was all of the I don't know what you call it. Is it automation? All of the stuff that when the house lowered and when the house, you know, tracked forward, well, there was a glitch. And the house would maybe not descend, or would not descend all the way, or when it hit the deck, it would jerk forward 4 feet. It was a little scary, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
But there was no patience to sort it out. There was just lawsuits.
I think that Patty LuPone, when I spoke to her, she had a sense that things were not going all that well with the show because there were some big technical issues. And she had frustrations from the technical standpoint, because I think she said that sometimes the taxi cab dispatchers could move the house around on the set of Sunset Boulevard. And you didn't know if you could live or die right then. And the thing weighs 2 tons and you're dancing under it. And if it falls, that's the end of you. And I think she had some frustrations artistically because she was not getting the help she felt she needed from Trevor Nunn, the director, and indeed from Andrew. So the frustrations were building before she got fired.
We were all fine. And then if Andrew came in a fit or whatever, then it affected the entire company. Yeah. But in rehearsals and in technicals, etc., everything... I mean, I had worked with Trevor in Les Mis, and it was the same way. I mean, he directed and dealt with the actors the same way he dealt with them in Les Mis. Mm. There was no... As I can recall, there was no tension until...
His lordship. I guess he was a knight then, not a lord yet.
Who knows? Until the reviews came out and he didn't get what he wanted. Well, you know, everybody said, why are you inviting the Times to the first performance of a brand new musical? But I think, I remember Andrew coming over after the reviews, before he left for L.A., and was very angry with Frank Rich, but didn't intimate anything to me about my performance or my reviews, nothing. And we proceeded after they all left for California. And, you know, the house and the sets got worked out. And we were a very happy company, very happy company. It only started to go bad when, isn't it Peter Brown?
Peter Brown, yeah.
Yeah, everybody attributed, I didn't know where it was coming from, but everybody attributed my bad press in the States to Peter Brown, Andrew's.
And who lived here in New York. And he's been Andrew's closest friend forever.
Well, everybody attributed my bad press in the States to him. Nothing was going on like that in London.
Really?
Nothing.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
I never saw it there, but I always thought they were great on the album, so I never understood what the problem was. The best recording of it is your recording of it. It was a difficult time for Andrew because his company had gotten so big with the success of Cats and Phantom of the Opera. He had so many people running this empire, and he was a mogul himself. But at the end of the day, Andrew is fundamentally an artist and a composer, and he's happiest at the piano. And he felt, though, that his company was just sprawling, and he was not on top of things the way he should be. And Patty probably experienced that, because back in the days when she was doing Evita, you were dealing with Andrew, Tim, and Hal Prince. That was it. They were the three people running the show. And all of a sudden, Patty is dealing with layers upon layers of executives and manager. And Andrew, I would say, and I think Andrew would agree, was remote back in those days.
OMFG, I cannot wait to hear the rest. Not going to lie, I did write my Rhetoric 1B paper on this very subject in college. Make sure to listen to Singular Sensation, the podcast, everywhere podcasts are found, or use bpn.fm/singularsensation to find your own way to listen.